Welcome, everybody, to the NFL Spread Show. I'm Cab Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast at Lingus Mafia, along with Mr. Billy Body at, where would you like to be at, Billy? Because you have multiple things, but what pertains to this best?
Where shall I be from? Let's do lock betting show, like lockbetting.com.
There you go. How'd you do this week in your gambling? I did pretty well, except for Baltimore, who fucked my parlay.
I did amazingly well until Baltimore was coming up, and they were in a teaser and a parlay, and that fucked up my whole Sunday, and I was still up, and then I lost a little bit on Monday. I had the Bears plus 3.5, but I also had this teaser, Bears plus 10.5 with under 51, I think, and that hit really easy. So, I don't think I made or lost anything. It was just a nothing week, which is better than a losing week. But I was sitting on so much profit if the Ravens has won. They didn't even need to cover, because I could have lost the spread bet. That was fine. But I lost the spread and the teaser with the Saints and the parlay, because it was the last leg of it. I sent you that parlay, a photo of it. It was all fucked by that. I was worried about Patriots covering. I thought if they played their absolute best, they might cover this result. But I just did not see how, after losing to Denver and San Francisco, a banged up 49ers at home, how you end up beating this team. But they still managed to do it. So I think they fucked a lot of people. It was the most bet game of the week, actually.
Oh, wow.
67% on the Ravens. But that's the thing. Like, the top five games every week now, at the start of the season, it was a really public year where, like, for the first 3 weeks, the bookies got absolutely murdered. And now the stabilization has occurred. What I should have done as a experienced gambler was taking a stance to side with the books completely at one point. But I'm not somebody that believes in blind gambling. And a lot of people are. There's a lot of guys out in Vegas that do things blindly. They don't know who the players are. They don't follow injuries. They don't follow this. They follow that. They play numbers. When certain teams hit certain numbers, they play. When the public bet one side, they will automatically bet the other. They don't give a shit. If there's 10% of the money on one thing and the public have gone 90% one way, they will take the 10%. They will 100% side with the bookies completely blindly. And had you done that for the top five bets this season, so every week we're looking at the top five, so that across 10 weeks now, that's 50 games, right? 67% of the most bet games have lost.
Oh shit.
Out of those 50. So that means the public's top five bets have lost the majority of the time. That means every week they, according to my maths, they're doing worse than getting 2 out of 5. They're doing worse than that, because if they were getting 2 out of 5, that would be 40%. The public are doing worse than that, Cav. They're hitting 33% of their top five bets every week. So that's the thing. Like, we do this show very early, but on Sunday, I will definitely be looking at the top five bets, the top five public bets from week 11, and just praying I haven't picked one of them. In fact, when you hear my lock at the end of the show, you'll probably think that I definitely haven't played one of them. And one interesting thing before you start the show properly, me and you have hit exact 100% equality over the course of the 10 weeks so far, because with our first and second locks, we both managed to get to 7-3 this week by actually landing them both on the Saints. And you landed your lock with Miami and I lost my lock with Baltimore, which is what needed to happen for us both to go 7-3 with that as well. So we're 7-3 and 7-3 on both categories, making our show overall 28-12 across the year so far for first and second locks.
You know who fucked me was the Browns, as usual. The Browns will always fuck me for some reason. Like, I needed them to win by 3.5, you know, one of those deals.
I had that in play. Yeah, the dickhead runs off.
Unbelievable. I was like, my hands were up in the air. Yes, thank you. Fucking steps out at the one. And I'm like, he's really worried about them making up fucking 10 points with 50 seconds? I mean, Jesus.
When Atlanta did it, they went ahead by 6, didn't they? Or they went ahead by 8, right?
Yeah, it was one score and it was fucking, yeah, the same shit.
They lost by 1, so they went ahead by... So when he accidentally scored, they went up by 7 when they just needed a field goal to win and see out the game. So that in itself, like, makes less sense. In this instance, they're not fucking scoring 10 in 10 seconds, you dickhead. Like, you fucked up everybody's fantasy point. I saw people going on there going, oh, my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, the people have gambled this number. It's bang on the number. It was only ever at 2 numbers. It was at 3 or 3.5. So people either got refunded and lost their winnings, mm-hmm. or they just flat out lost all their money on that. There's obviously the other side of it, which would have been the people. Imagine you had the Texans, like how you would be feeling.
Oh, like, my God.
That's your favorite player.
Oh, yeah.
That is your fucking...
Stepping out, baby.
Sending him roses and shit.
What's funny is that Bears game too that we were disagreeing on, I had taken that. I took the Minnesota like the week, as soon as like Sunday was over, the prior week, I put money on Minnesota. I was like, I have no doubt. And then, you know, you listen to people, you get worried. You're like, maybe they will do better. I'm like, yeah, it is true. Kirk Cousins has never won on Monday, and the Bears always beat them. I'm like, Bears look like shit. I know what I fucking know about my team. And I had money on Minnesota to win, and I was like, hey, I wasn't mad. People that know me at work, they're like, you pissed off today? And I'm like, no, I had money on Minnesota. I go, fuck that shit. I go, I'm not blind. I know what my team can do and what they can't do, and they'll make me money when they don't fucking win. So fuck that.
And that's the thing, like, I should have just played the teaser in that game. I shouldn't have played. But the halftime, it looked okay. Like, they looked like they were moving the ball on the run.
It did.
Both of the teams were almost trying to take it out of the hands of the quarterbacks and the receivers, but Cook was stopped quite easily, and then they had to have the quarterback's name just
Cody. Oh, Kirk Cousins?
Sorry, yeah. They were trying to I'm looking at something. I'm looking at notes for a different game here. Because I was trying to see I was trying to get up my WhatsApp group what I was saying about the Cleveland game, which I'll say in a second. They were trying to keep the ball out of Cousins' hands and letting Cook win the game, because that's what they've been doing for weeks. Mm-hmm. And then they were stopping Cook, and then when the defense had been on fucking constantly, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, that's when Cook got his yardage. At the end, in the fourth quarter, because the fucking defense had been on there all half. It was like 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. That wasn't happening so much in the first half. So the play looked okay when Chicago obviously up 13-7. That maybe should have been a point where I took Vikings on the money line when they were underdogs. Because the play, even at 6 points up, the play didn't feel right. Like running down a kickoff,
mm-hmm.
isn't a play indicator. It's not it's not a metric where you go, oh, look, they're doing this. They got yards this many yards per carry. The quarterback's got this many yards. No, it's just fucking the guy picks up the ball and he finds some like crazy gaps and he's crazy fast and he manages to score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with how the game's playing out. It's a freak occurrence. It's like running back. It's like running down a field goal or something like that, where a field goal gets blocked and a touchdown is scored or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end of the game, like the commentators are even saying, it's like the Bears defense know they need to make a play here and not and he was talking not about they need to force a turnover to score some points. It's like that defense, they know they have to fucking stop everybody for the entire game. Right.
Yeah.
Plus, they have to fucking try and score the points mm-hmm. too.
I listen to these radio shows and they go, all right, the Bears have to score a defensive touchdown if they're going to win the game. I'm like, that's a sad fucking statement that you actually have to say that. And then they even said, or a special teams fucking touchdown. and they actually got the special teams and still didn't win. Fucking two field goals offensively. That's what they scored. The fucking seven was from a kick return. I'm like, holy shit.
I was furious they didn't score the field goal. They had 3 minutes left with three timeouts.
Yeah.
And they go for it on like fourth and nine. It's like, you're not making fourth and nine. You're I don't even think you're making fourth and one. Like, I don't, how are you making fourth and nine in this game? Kick the field goal. Kick the field goal, make the stop, which you did, and try and get down the field again. And down the field for the Bears is like 30, 40 yards out, which they could have made that with their kickoff return and two first downs or something like that, which would have given them a chance to at least get it to overtime. And most importantly, covered the 3.5, which is what everybody cared about. But they didn't. They fucking go for it on fourth and nine with this MVP – Super Bowl MVP quarterback, which is unbelievable to me. But I'm just looking at this message now from the Browns game. So I sent to people the message, and I say, like, let's get on Cleveland. Let's take Cleveland -3.5 right now. Mm-hmm. I said, if you can get it at three, get it at three. This is why I think when the game was like, the game was, they were up 3-0, but Houston had just gone for it on fourth and one and hadn't been able to score. And then immediately, like, they had had a 3-and-out, and Houston were driving again. I went, they're not going to score again. I was like, take this 3 or 3.5, because the 3 was at 5-6 -120, and a 3.5 was about even money or -110. I said, even if they do, I said they can't stop the run. I said if your bookie has it, take Chubb to run over 70 yards. He's going to get way more than that. They're not going to be able to stop him. I said, nobody's going to be able to throw the ball in these conditions. That's why the total was bet from, the total was in that game was 54, bet down to 46, and ended up having 13 points. No, it didn't, less than that. More than that. 17 points it had in overall in the game.
Jesus.
And
that's unreal.
And I was completely right about everything. The Chubb play, the over 70 yards, if they had it, was easy money. And then he does end up breaking away at the end. And I'm like, oh my God, look at my analysis. I was right about Chubb. I was right about the game. Nobody can move the ball. I was right about the run. And the icing on the cake is this guy is going to run down now and score the touchdown. The very guy that I mentioned, who's going to be a big player in this game, runs the biggest play and covers this fucking spread. And he just walks out. Like, I didn't even realize that he had walked out. Like, I thought that he just crossed the touchdown line in the corner.
Jesus.
Like,
Christ.
It was done like a centimeter away from the pole. It's like he almost was doing it to entertain himself and to wind up better than fantasy players, because he could have gone out at any point on that field. Like, he could have ran out 5, 6, 7, 8 yards out, mm-hmm. or whatever. But to get down to the post and then sidestep out like a piece of shit. Like, that was the worst thing about it. Because it seemed like completely, like, predetermined.
Yeah, he knew what he was fucking doing. Let's get into this week, and we have the first game on the docket, which I have in front of me, is Arizona goes into Seattle. Seattle on a bit of a shit streak here. And Arizona on a hot one after that fucking Hail Mary at the end, which is good because I had Arizona on just the win. But they're going into Seattle. I don't think Seattle is going to continue to lose like this. So I would say Seattle wins this. And I'd say they're favored probably by one.
No, they're 3-point favorites at home.
Three. Yeah, see?
Unless it's changed.
If there was fans, it would feel differently. But you know what? I think I would fucking, I might leave that alone, because I could see Seattle's going to win by three.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it will be. It'll be a shootout.
Oh, okay.
Do you not think? No one can defend here.
Yeah, nobody's defense here is good. So what's the over-under?
Yeah, it's high. It's like 57.
Yeah, that might be a little.
But I watched the game. I watched a college game in the Mac Action. You know, the Mac Division.
The Mac Division, yes.
We call it, in the Mac. So, and last night it had 104 points in it.
Jesus
and
Christ!
And Kent State were like running up the score at the end.
Oh, like, was Dolph Ziggler involved?
Why would Dolph Ziggler be involved?
He's from Kent State.
Is he?
Yeah.
He Where's Kent State?
Bunch of records.
Is Kent a state?
I don't know where the fuck Kent State is, to tell you the truth. I mean, right. It's probably fucking in that Clevelandish area, I would think. He's from there. So I don't know exactly where the fuck. Maybe type that in. Where the fuck is Kent State?
Oh, you type in. I'm looking for public NFL bets at the moment.
All right. So next, who would you take on that? Because I'm taking Seattle.
Yeah, I would take Seattle too, because they've lost two games in a row. But I mean, the short week doesn't help them to get right. But I mean, it's the same situation for both.
Yeah, Kent. It's Kent, Ohio. So it's an actual place in Ohio. Okay, Philadelphia goes into Cleveland. I don't know which Philly shows up, and I don't know which Cleveland ever shows up. I would say Cleveland is favored here. I'd say Cleveland is probably favored by 7.5.
Where's it gone? I'm doing two things at once. Wow, you know, I only have 7 games up for the NFL here at this book.
No shit.
So I don't know whether there's like huge COVID issues like across the US. Just so fucking weird. Let me go to a different book.
Go to straight up, what's it called? Straight up like ESPN or something. That's where I usually see stuff.
Yeah, Cleveland, the favorites by 3.
Okay. Cleveland only by 3. I think I might take that. I just Philly is a fucking joke. I can't believe how fucking up and down and trash that whole. I mean, obviously the division's trash. So, I'd take Cleveland in this. What do you say?
I don't trust Cleveland either, but yeah, mm-hmm. I would take them here.
Totally.
Because they're just less trash than these guys. Mm-hmm. To be honest, it's the only reason.
Cincinnati goes into Washington. I do like Cincinnati. I say it every week. I say they're only a couple pieces away from, you know, being in the playoffs and stuff like that, because they're always, they hang around. They're not a push around anymore at all. And even though they're going into Washington, I think Cincinnati should be fucking favored. But for some reason, I think Washington will be favored, and I think Washington's favored by 1.
Yeah, Washington are favored by 1 point.
Look at that. I would take this. I take Cincinnati to win outright.
Cincinnati got beaten quite badly last week.
They played Pittsburgh, though.
Why does that keep going off?
You're fucking Japanese over there. You got your Japanese hooas.
Right. I don't know what to do with this game. This game's really, like, they're both bad. And they're both good occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
So, not often. I don't even have any side of this at all.
Yeah, the defensive line for Washington is going to be able to get through because the offensive line is still bad.
I'm going to take Washington, I think.
All right, I'm taking Cincy. I'm pretty feeling pretty strong with Cincy, to tell you the truth. Detroit goes into Carolina. This is a very hard one for me. Like, you go, okay, well, Detroit was supposed to be kind of good, and Carolina was supposed to be really bad, but Carolina isn't that bad. I say Detroit's favored by 3, maybe 3.5.
I don't have it up.
Okay.
So I don't know why it's not there. Before it was taken off, it was 3 points to Carolina in my notes.
You know what? I look it up now. It is 1.5 for the Panthers. They're giving. Mm-hmm. Panthers are giving 1.5. Which,
you know,
I'm
why.
Surprised they're favored. Yeah.
That's... You're surprised the Panthers are favored?
Yes. I am. I just think Detroit's a better team.
Detroit's terrible, though.
I know. I mean, listen, Detroit.
Look what they did last week.
Yeah, they blew up at the end, right? They choked.
Yeah, against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Who've got no offense and are mainly a defensive team. And then they gave up. It was like 2 touchdowns in the two touchdowns. I think it gave up 17 points in the fourth quarter, something like that. It was a big meltdown. It looked like they were going to lose, and then they ended up scoring a field goal at the end. Mm.
Pittsburgh is going into Jacksonville. And you know what's funny is, I don't know why, but I thought Jacksonville had more than one win. I was like, wow, they won the first game and that was it. I completely thought they won other games because they've always been competitive. Maybe that's what fucked me up. But Pittsburgh going into Jacksonville. I wonder if everybody just takes Jacksonville lightly. And, you know, it's rough. But I would take Pittsburgh here, and I think they're favored by, I'll say 13.5.
No, it's not that much. It's just 10 points.
Eh.
That fucking Luton guy is 2-0 against the spread.
No shit.
I don't know if he's going to carry on playing, but
I was like, look at this. Any quarterback they get, just slide him right in, and he's good. I'm like, what the fuck?
You know, they lost the last two games by against Houston and Green Bay by a combined total of 6 points.
Mm, that's crazy. Oh, my God. I'm like, wow, if it wasn't for the Jets being shit, I mean, what are these teams going to do? Minshew, I guess, will be on the fucking move. They'll get rid of him if they were able to get the fucking quarterback, but it looks like the Jets will. And I mean, Sam Darnold's free, so it'll be interesting. Tennessee goes into Baltimore. Both of these teams need a win badly, but they're in Baltimore. So I'll just say the generic, if you're home, you automatically get 3 points. So I say Baltimore by 3.
No, Baltimore by 6.
No shit. Fuck. They look like they forgot how to play.
They looked pretty bad last week, mm-hmm. But I will say this. There's no way you should have to play a sport in that weather. Like,
crazy. This is football, baby.
I think we should, like, as gamblers, should get their money back for that selection. Because it was just like ridiculous.
It should be the best running game wins. Best line, best running game. But
yeah, which apparently is the Patriots. So, I don't know about this Baltimore team. I think it's weird because last year, they were odds-on favorites to win their conference and massive favorites to win the Super Bowl. I think you were getting prices of like even money, like you were betting 100 to win 100 mm-hmm. last year. By the time we got down to the last eight, not the wild card round, the divisional round.
Can I take a guess what their odds are right now? Do you have in front of you what it would be to win the whole thing?
To win. I wouldn't bet it, but
yeah, I won't either, but I think it's going to be like
11 to 1.
Really? 11 to 1? Jesus, I was going to say 5.
No, it's 11 to 1. Like, nobody's better than 5 to 1. 5 to 1's pretty short. Only the Chiefs are less than that. They're 7 to 2. Pittsburgh are more than 5 to 1.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, look, last year they were even money favorites, and we all said they're not going to win it. Like, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. Like, I said they may get to the Super Bowl because I had two home games. But if you remember me saying last year, Lamar he's going to be like the next Cam Newton, where he gets to the Super Bowl and just completely freezes from the Super Bowl, and it affects him afterwards. Well,
forever, yeah.
It was nearly right. He got to the playoffs. It completely affected him. He couldn't play in that playoff game. He comes here to the start of the season. He's up and down. Like, he's being stopped on the run. He's not converting much. Like, they're like, red zone conversion is shit. Like, they can continue to get to the red zone and they're not putting up points. Like, he even dominated Pittsburgh on yardage and lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense has backtracked as well. There's something wrong with this team. And for me, you even have to wonder in terms of how much they even really how motivated they'll be now, because they're in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
They're the number one team now because of that loss. They had a chance where they needed Pittsburgh to go 13-3 mm-hmm. and they could have matched Pittsburgh at 13-3 by beating them. So if they'd given Pittsburgh their first loss, Pittsburgh had some like tough games coming up. I believe they have to go to Indianapolis and one other. I think maybe against Tampa. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but they had a tough schedule in the last three of the last five games they could lose from week 12 onwards. It's a tough schedule for Pittsburgh to finish up with. So there was a chance that Baltimore could do it, but that loss has completely ended it. Now, what's the difference for this team going 12-4 and 10-6 or whatever? They can take week the AFC, the record to get into the playoffs through the AFC is going to be around about 10-6, which they can get to easily. I don't know how motivated this team are going to be on a week to week basis. I think in these kind of spots, when you're looking at a divisional rival here like Tennessee, I think they'll win this game. But I'm not going to definitely bet it, because the Patriots' run game managed to convert yards all week last week.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Derrick Henry is going to be getting first downs continuously in this game. So it makes it very hard to bet this game. I don't know. Did Tennessee offer a bye, right?
Yes.
Right. So the last game Derrick Henry played was a game where they won, but the Chicago Bears like managed to pretty much put him in his place, much like they did for the first three quarters from Cook until that defense was exhausted. So I don't think that they come back into this game and think, okay, we need to do something different here. Like, we're looking mainly at like a Tannehill orientated game. I think they just go back to Henry and they run the ball here and see if Lamar and Baltimore can put up enough points to win it. I think the total here is pretty low at 49. I think the only way this game stays under if both teams run so much that the clock runs out real fast. I mean, there's a way this game, if it's played a certain way, this game could be finished in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
With just the clock just being run down by these running games. But if that doesn't work, if they somehow manage to stop each other doing that, then this ball's going to be going in the air and this total's going to be blown away, like this 49. But I think the Ravens need to win this more than Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tennessee need to win this as much as Baltimore, because they're coming off a win and they've had a couple of bad performances. And last year, like, they were, you know, a team that just about got to the playoffs. And when they beat New England, it was a big surprise. And when they were beating the Chiefs, it was a big surprise. This Baltimore team was supposed to win the Super Bowl, and they've been on a massive letdown since.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones that need to respond here and get everyone off their back. I don't think that Tennessee have got any pressure on them at all. They're kind of for me, they're still a team that you don't notice. They're still very much, I think that on one side you have Tennessee, and on the NFC side you have the LA Rams. Nobody talks about the Rams. They're completely silent killers.
The Tennessee played last week. They lost to Indianapolis on Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. That's right. Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Brought them back down to earth a little bit again. So, New England going into Houston. I think New England's probably favorite here finally. And, this one's a tough one too, but Houston's just fucking bad. Houston's real fucking bad. I would say New England is favored by, I want to say 7.
Nah, 2 points.
Only 2. This might be a good one to fucking take. Only 2 points. It is scary because they haven't really proven much, you know, but when they're good, you go, oh, look at this. But they don't do it often enough. I do like that one, though. That is one to keep an eye on. What do you think?
I think Houston win this game.
Really?
I think that last week just felt like a spot where you just fuck everybody on Sunday Night Football, and the conditions are in your favor,
mm-hmm.
and you come in and your back's against the wall at Foxborough, and you turn up and put a performance.
Mm-hmm.
Now this week, you're coming in as the favorites. The whole world are going to be betting against betting against the Texans. And you know what the Texans can't do? They can't stop the pass. But last week, Cleveland were in a situation where they couldn't pass the ball in those conditions, so they ended up having to run against the Texans. In fact, I don't know if the Texans do anything defensively well. Let me just have a look here at my stats, because it's going to be important. Because I have a feeling just in my mind that this just seems like a letdown spot for New England.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's no statistical like data to support that, then obviously that goes out the window. So passing, I'm going to go to team stats. This is defensive team stats. All right, here we go. And we want to put this in order. So what do you want to look at? How do you put this in order? Yards. Okay, so in pass defense at the moment, the Rams are the number one team
mm-hmm.
at defending the pass. The Jaguars are the worst. And Texans are right down there at the bottom. But also the Patriots are down there as well.
Mm.
The Patriots are the second worst team at stopping the pass in the league. As far as the rushing goes, let me bring up the percentages here.
Imagine if Watson had a guy named Hopkins, he'd be able to throw all over them.
So the Saints have conceded the least rush yards this season, and I was actually wrong about the. I had it the wrong way around. The Texans are the worst in the whole league at conceding rush yards. So I would think the fact Jesus. That they're so low in both would probably put them. There's nothing here that tells you the overall defense. It just breaks it up into different sections. So they're pretty low on passing, fifth worst in passing, and worst at stopping the rush.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think this plays into the Patriots' favor to do exactly what they did last week. But obviously the Patriots are not very good at defending the pass either. They're conceding over 8 yards per pass on average per game. So this is really hard to call. I just think that it could be like a letdown for the Patriots. For me, it's going to be one of those weird things where I become that kind of gambler where I'm looking at where everybody's put their money. And I just feel like Patriots are going to be like the big public team this week mm-hmm. where everybody saw them beat Baltimore last week. And this is what very much happens. Like the public are very basic where they'll lose money and they'll think the team that cost them their bet are in some way special.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, the whole thing now is going to be the Patriots are back. But do you actually think that that's true? Do you think this Patriots team
no.
are going to be in the are going to get to the playoffs?
No. I've seen way too much bad stuff with them, and like Cam not knowing how to fucking play.
Exactly.
Ever since COVID,
I'm gonna take Houston on the. On the money line here, but I'm not going to be betting this game. I'm not going to jump on New England like everybody else and think that they're automatically going to go back to back. I think if there's any team in this league that have recovered mm-hmm. and they are actually going to go on a run, it's going to be the Vikings.
Okay.
They could be the surprise team who had a shit record. I think they were 1-5 and could still make the playoffs, but that's it.
Even they're, with the worst defense in the league too.
What's that, sorry?
The worst defense in the league, Minnesota.
Who, the Vikings?
Yeah. Like they're, I think, maybe second from the bottom, something like that.
There's no actual order where I'm looking for the overall worst defense. There should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think looking at the stats for what we just read for Houston, I can't see that Minnesota would be lower than that.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Let's go to Miami versus Denver in Denver. Miami, break up the fish, baby. They're fucking good now. They're going to the playoffs here. I say Miami is favored here, and I'll only say by 3 points because they're in Denver. That is the only... I know a lot of people, I think, are jumping on the Denver bandwagon. Like it's going to be cold and shit like that. But I don't know. I think Miami's on a good, nice little roll right now.
It's 3.5 at the moment.
Okay. That half always kills me. It does, and I mean, this does scare me a little bit just because it's okay. It's a Miami going to a cold place. Like, does that make sense to you that they have to go play in the cold?
Yeah,
this might get them. Yeah.
I think I will play like Denver here. Because I don't think Miami will get to the playoffs.
Okay. Another team that's not going to the playoffs is the Jets. and they're going against the Chargers. Will the Chargers not fall apart the last second of the fucking game again? I think this week they finally win. I think they're probably favored. I would say they're favored by 7.
Hold on, I'm just bringing up. I was bringing up DVOA. I'm doing a lot of data searching here. The Jets, sorry, yeah, the Chargers, San Diego are favored by 8.5.
8.5. You worry about them collapsing, but they should win this by double digits. I would think so. Green Bay goes into Indianapolis. This one is going to be good. I think Indianapolis is going to win this game. I know you're still high on your Packers, Billy, but I think we've seen enough. We know that this is once they play real good teams that they're going to be in trouble. God, I would say Indy is favored here by, and it's a matter of which Rivers shows up. I'll say they're favored by 3.
Oh, by the way, Minnesota are ranked the 13th best defense in the league.
13th best? Is this probably after last week? Is that the only reason?
Well, it's updated, yeah. New Orleans are number 1 overall. And Tampa 2, KC are 3rd, and Pittsburgh are 4th.
Yeah,
the worst defense in the league is the Jets, then Denver, then Cincinnati, then Dallas.
I'm surprised Dallas is that high, to tell you the truth.
Same. Okay, so I am 100% taking the Colts here.
Yeah.
There's no way that we win this game. We looked like shit last week. We've already won our division, and just a bad situation where they're going to be able to move the ball on the run, which we can't stop, and it's not going to come down to Rivers versus Aaron Rodgers. There's going to be loads of stuff this week, and they're going to go, oh, these two quarterbacks have played this many times, and they're both Hall of Famers, and it's going to be all about that. It's not going to come down to that. It's going to be down to Aaron gets behind in this game, because India initially going to be moving the ball and scoring points, be it field goals or touchdowns or whatever, but they'll be able to score. They'll be able to get out in front, and they'll be able to score over 25 points in this game. And the Packers just won't. So that's going to be how I think this goes.
What's the spread?
1.
Wow, 1. Then yes, and it's Indy's favored by 1.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm putting a little star next to that one. Dallas goes into Minnesota. Minnesota flying high. A couple wins under their belt. They got to be favored here against horrible Dallas. Is Dalton back? I would assume so.
At this point. Who cares? The other guy's better anyway.
Pretty much. I say Minnesota is favored here by, let's go with 7.
It is 7.
Yeah, that's when it's right on the money like that. It worries me a bit because they'll be like, we're up, you know. But I will take Minnesota in this though.
I don't see how Dallas are going to cover anything here. Do you know they've only covered one spread all season, and that was against
Atlanta?
It was against Steelers.
Oh shit.
But it was that huge one of like 14. Minnesota need to keep winning here. And they've got a schedule here where by the time they have their next difficult game, they will be 7-5. The only thing that you have to even think about with Minnesota's next few games is, as far as I'm concerned, will they cover spreads? It's not at all going to be... What the fuck is my phone doing? I'm trying to, like, bring up their record here. So here we go. I have Minnesota finishing 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure whether that gets them into the playoffs because I haven't worked out everybody else in the NFC. But I have them winning this week at home to the Cowboys, winning at home next week against the Panthers, and winning at home the week after to the Jags. So that is the easiest schedule possible. That takes you to 7-5. They then go away to the Bucks, which I think they'll lose, mm-hmm. but it's not a guarantee. But I think they'll lose because that'll be 7-6. They'll then beat the Bears at home, which is 8-6. They should lose at the Saints, which is 8-7, and I think they'll win in Detroit in the last day because they'll be mathematically mm-hmm. in a playoffs. That takes them to 9-7. If they win one of these games at the Bucks or the Saints, they're definitely in the playoffs. And we don't know the situation with the Saints at the moment because Breeze is fucked, and we don't know what Winston's going to look like. So,
is it Winston? Did they say that, or is it going to be Hill?
Hill's going to be so difficult to integrate into the team because it that's going to be like a running quarterback.
See, that's the thing, is they want to see what they have in Hill. So it would make more sense if they just let him start, because you want to see if he's going to be your future.
But how do you redesign all the schemes and with 1 week's practice? Like, how do you?
Oh, I'm sure
I'm sure they've done more. I did more in the preseason. Like, I'm sure they.
Yeah, they have like a book for each guy. Like, you know, this is his book because this is what he's better at. You know, it's a sprint outs and shit like that, where, you know, it's a completely different playbook, I think. I mean, if they invested in him and kept him over Bridgewater, so, you know, you would think he was going to be their future. But God knows, fucking Winston playing. Forget it.
If it's Winston, make sure you get your interception betting.
First play of the game. Kansas City going into Vegas. Kansas City's trying to get revenge because they lost to Vegas. This is their only loss. I think it'll come out and they're going to be pissed. And they're not going to take them lightly. So I will take Kansas City to win this. But I think they are probably favored by... I'll go with 7 on this one too.
Yep, 7 points.
There we go. You know what? This week is a bit scary all the way around. There is not many fucking games that I'm jumping up and down about, that I'm that confident in.
I think this one is an easy one. I think that
they beat the shit out of the
Raiders. Well, the Raiders are coming off 2 wins in a row.
Yeah.
So to me, that spells letdown. Plus, I think they have some COVID problems. Mm. Like they're saying on social media today, that it's not positive. It's like those false positives or people who have been around other people. So it's a lot of people not practicing. I don't know whether they're going to be back or not, or whether they're out or whatever. But I'm surprised. I'll be surprised if this stays at 7. Well, as this information's coming out. I'm probably going to make this my secondary lock today, just because I want it to be logged before
before it goes up,
before the game is pulled or anything. Yeah, at the moment it's still 7, so there's been no reaction to that at the moment. Right. But there's a lot of stuff I actually like this week. I feel differently to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I swear we missed the game.
I did too, and I just looked, and I almost just said it. Atlanta at New Orleans.
Yeah, that's it.
That one, I'm like, ooh, does Atlanta say, oh, we finally can fucking get one here because of that quarterback situation. But it's still New Orleans. It's still well coached. I'd say New Orleans is only favored, though, by 3.5.
It's 5.5.
Really?
And I've got Atlanta here to win outright.
Really? Shit.
Yep.
Oh,
they've done it before.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, divisional games, you could throw that shit out the window. You know.
Yeah.
That's a tricky one. Fuck. That's a real weird number too. 5.5. You know, it's not like you see with the 4s and the 6 shit like that. 5. Monday, you have the Rams going into Tampa. Which Rams are going to show up? And I say it every week. They could win every game or they could lose every game, and I won't be surprised about either one of them. I'll take Tampa Bay to win here, but I think Tampa is probably favored by 2.5.
No, they're favored by 4 points.
It's a matter of which fucking Ram shows up. God damn, this is a fucking... like I said, this week for me is tough.
I'm asked that question, but you don't ask it about your boyfriend's team. Because what about what Bucks are going to show up? Because they can be pretty fucking shitty as well. In fact...
one game.
No, Cav. This game can change... This team can change in the middle of games.
I don't know.
They started bad against Carolina. And yeah. They've started bad in other games. And then they've in other games, they've gone out, jumped ahead, and they've let teams cover spreads. So this Tampa team is really unreliable.
I think LA is very unreliable as well. Yeah, Tampa's defense, where they're supposed to be great defense, they were like getting walked all over. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's like, where'd that defense go? God, okay. So when it comes to the locks now, this is, you're going to have a much easier time than I am here.
All right.
Yeah, because I'm like, oof, looking at these now. I'm like, Jesus Christ. God, you know what? Maybe, if everyone hears a beeping, I'm getting a fucking call waiting with Billy plugged in over here. God, that Green Bay one, I really like that with Indy. It's only 1 point, so that's going to be one of mine. And the other one, God. I almost want to go out on a fucking limb because it's a back and forth type of thing and say Cincinnati over Washington flat out. God. See, you make a lot of sense with those other ones too, Billy, with the Kansas City and Vegas. I really like that one now too. The more you say it, I might actually have to bet that before it changes as well. Because it probably will. If people have COVID, that number's going up. That's the thing, yeah. God, all right. I'm going to fucking go on the limb. Fuck it. My secondary, I'm picking Cincinnati to win outright over Washington.
All right. My lock was going to be the Colts.
Okay. You can still have that lock.
Yeah. I mean, you have it. So that means that, like, people, you know, my clients listen will always bet top locks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been mine as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether to pick two here or one. The other one, the second one I had marked down was, I'm not sure now, because now I need to think about the second one, because that would be the first one. I think Seattle on Thursday. So I don't like giving it. I mean, that's the thing. Even with my secondary lock,
mm-hmm.
now that if Colts is my one and Seattle is my second,
yeah,
I see that this show's numbers go up at around about Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
It has that quick 170 to 200 people that get it before. And then it has like a massive spike on the weekend.
Yeah. That's when everybody wants to do their bets. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I don't like putting Thursday in there. But so I've caught
should teach them. Teach them to fucking listen earlier.
Yeah, I should do. I should start just picking Thursday. Well, Thursday nights is my worst game though. Like for the whole year, I'm 2-8 on Thursday. So I think that would they're probably doing it on purpose now. avoiding me. So the other one then would be this Chiefs game, Chiefs -7. So Cav has the Colts, and I really, really love that. That's official.
Mm-hmm.
And Chiefs -7 now is official as well, because that's my second choice. And Seattle -3, that's the Thursday night game. And if you're listening to this on any other day but Thursday, that's already happened.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So Seattle -3 is my second, and Chiefs -7 is my first. My big blockbuster surprise on this show was supposed to be that I picked the Colts, and that was going to be my big swerve play. And
because it's a miracle you picked against your own team and didn't jerk off.
Right. Yeah, there's that. And there's obviously the fact that I don't think there's any way that is the number one public play this week. In fact, I'm hoping that it has a reverse percentage of, you know, in the 40s or 30% mm-hmm. people play that and they go the other way instead. Because a lot of guys, like on a week-to-week basis, the Patriots and Green Bay are very, and New Orleans Saints are very much three automatically bet teams by people. Mm. And the Cowboys used to be as well. I don't know whether, obviously situations are affected it, but in general, the Cowboy data may be old, but over the years, Cowboys were quite highly bet. But I think Green Bay and Patriots are very, very, and Saints are very, very public, especially at home. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I love the Falcons too. If I had an underdog here, even without points, mm-hmm. Like straight up underdog of the week, which maybe we should, next year when we do the show, we'll add that. But my underdog of the week without even the points would be Falcons. Like, I don't need 5.5. I think they'll either win or Saints will figure it out and beat them easily. But I think if the Falcons are covering this spread, I think they're going to win.
Hmm. Yeah, you're on that Falcons one where I'm like, I don't know. It's the Falcons. I've learned my lesson too many times with them.
They didn't have a week off as well.
Yeah, they were off last week.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, look at this. Okay, we all heard it.
I'm gonna actually bet money on this
right now.
And I'm just deciding whether I give it out to clients. My clients are gonna see this game on Sunday. It's just a case of whether it'll be with or without points. How I play things for people who are paying me for picks is a little different to how I just haphazardly fuck around with my own money.
Yeah, he's got stats and all kind of a big write up and everything. So if you're looking to get some real information, it's a lot different than him talking about it on this show than what he does for his clients.
Yeah.
Okay. Where can we get your Twitter, Billy?
My Twitter is at SGPSoccer for gambling and at DirtySheets.com for wrestling and things like that. LockBetting.com is my website. So if you head over today, you can get all my betting packages. It's just the middle of the month, so it's still worth doing. We're massively, massively up on soccer this month. And we would have been up for NFL had Baltimore won. It would have been such a big swing result for us. But we go again week 11. This is something that people want as part of the bet packages. It's certainly not mine or anybody else's strongest mm-hmm. sport. This is one of the most difficult sports to do. And we're considerably up for the season from the start we had at the start of the season. And all of our futures are in very good shape. Mm-hmm. I'm set to go 8-1 with my futures at the moment, with Dallas, the Dallas win total of over 9.5, the only guaranteed loss that I have. So I'm in good shape to add all of those futures to the end. And I'm actually doing a whole load of other futures that go out this week. So if you want those, head over to lockbetting.com. Basically, they're going to be a few new picks to win divisions. Not picks, not changes. I've not changed my mind about anything, but I've looked ahead at some schedules and I like to take some bets now. A couple of divisional winners, a couple of teams I think will make the playoffs at the moment who are underdogs. Things like that I'm about to put out at lockbetting.com in the next 24 hours. So you can get that over there.
All right. All my nonsense is at Lingus Mafia. You can find that Instagram and Twitter, and you'll have links to everything else I do on there with Patreon, yada, yada. Go out, everybody. Win some money. Later.